Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Beltway Blitz, 60 seconds away. Charlie Slows, Britt Ciroli, and Eric Bickle. Welcome back. Grant and Danny, GP solo with you today, live on 106.7 The Fan. Ryan and Anthony in Forderis on the production. I got some great responses on Twitter and Instagram at Grant H. Paulson that were just sent to me over the last few minutes. The question being, in honor of Jacoby Brissett, mic'd up, telling his teammate he doesn't care about chicken tenders because he's bleeping 31 years old. What a bad take that was by our friend Jacoby Brissett. I asked you guys, what's a food you love when you're a kid that you can't eat when you're an adult and be taken seriously? C-Dub on Twitter says, gotta be Chef Boyardee canned spaghetti for me. Chris said, as an adult, you can no longer eat any type of Chef Boyardee or canned pasta. George said, my number one seed as a kid that I can't touch anymore, SpaghettiOs. So we're all feeding from the same trough here. Walking Zombie says microwaved mac and cheese cups. Yeah, I think that one's tougher as you get older for sure. Those taste buds expand, the palate a little sharper than it once was. Brian says kid foods to abandon as an adult, bubble gum. Disagree, still like gum. Fruit roll up, absolutely no value in that. Yogurt in a tube, never done that, but I get it. Some others that were good. Lunchables. Applesauce and celery, Jesse said. Ramen noodles is funny. Dan Snyder's yacht. How about a can of easy cheese? The spray cheese that's so gross put on crackers. And then lastly, from Brooks, he says cotton candy. When you're a kid at an event, cotton candy, 10 out of 10. Grown up, it's just sticky, disgusting, and a mess. Even the idea of getting my kids cotton candy grosses me out, even though I'll do it occasionally on a hot summer day and regret it every second after that. All right, let's kick off the Beltway Blitz, talk some Nats baseball. The boys looking to continue their winning ways after taking 2 of 3 from the Milwaukee Brewers over the weekend. They've got the San Francisco Giants in town. 10-game homestand continues tonight. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on the call of Nats baseball. First pitch at 6:45, about 2 hours and 40 minutes from right now. Charlie joins us live on our Beltway Blitz. Charlie, I want to start with yesterday's game. James Wood, a stand-up 3-run triple, 12 for his last 28 at the plate. He's heating up, huh?
Yeah, he's starting to come around, and he's hit in 7 of his last 8 games. He and Luis Garcia have really been kind of carrying the offense of late, and Juan Yepes has been terrific since he came up in early July. I mean, he's hit in 21 of 25 games. He's got 10 games with extra base hits. He's got 12 doubles to go with his two home runs. So there's been a little more offense from two or three guys, and you're hoping that, you know, CJ starts to find it again. He's just 7 hits for him in his last 49 at-bats, but he's had hits in 6 of his last 7 games, but only 1 hit in each game. So, you know, offense comes and goes. Really, the Nationals' success this year has been based on their pitching. When their starting pitching has been lights out, they don't need a lot of runs to score. In the last month, when we saw maybe some fatigue for starters before the All-Star break and just out of the break, you know, that's been a difference for them, because the team ERA that was once in the 3.7s right now is 4.39. That's a big difference.
Charlie, Juan Yepes, you mentioned hitting .330 and now about 100 at-bats since being recalled from AAA to make his Nats debut. At 26 years old, posting about a .900 OPS so far, is he the best Juan to ever wear a Nationals jersey?
The best Juan? That's well, that's pretty hard to live up to when you had Soto here.
Oh, wearing, that's right, Soto.
Using that name for a number of years. So, but maybe the next best Juan?
We'll make him the second best one. How about that?
Yeah, we'll put him in that category.
Well, I saw the Nats PR staff with their game notes has polished off a lot of their old Juan Soto puns. They had the chosen Juan with all the Juan Yepes notes the other day. They used to use that for Soto all the time.
Yeah, they did. And I guess in New York, John Sterling called him, you know, wonderful. I called him the magic Juan when he was here.
Both of those work, and Juan Yepes so far has played at that level. What do you make of the season Luis Garcia has had? He barely was still in the organization at spring training. Remember, Mike Rizzo very publicly challenged him on this radio station last year when they sent him to the minors. Davey Martinez made it very clear he was getting his last opportunity, and then he came to spring training and was okay, wins the job kind of by default. But not only has he saved his career here, he's having a downright good season. 13 homers, 17 steals, gone deep in back-to-back games, still only 24, career-high batting average, on-base, slug. He's also playing the best defense he's played. Make this make sense.
Yeah, well, you covered a lot of it there. They sent him down last year. He was stunned. You know, he gained weight during the season. He wasn't in good condition. He didn't want to do the work and prep before games that you know that they needed him to do, and so that was definitely a wake up call to be sent to the minor leagues. And then they made sure that the message was clear in spring training: you're not going to this with this job cinched, that it's yours when the regular season starts. You're going to have to compete. And you know, Trey Lipscomb played a lot of second base during the spring, and you know, that kind of went to the wire as to, you know, whether Lipscomb was going to make the team or they're going to send him down. And of course they did, and then he came back right away when Senzel got it to play third base. And you know, he hasn't played any second base since he's been up in the last few months, except for maybe a handful of appearances there at the very beginning of the year. But really, it's been him and Ildemar Vargas. Even what Garcia's done of late, he's been more or less in a platoon with Vargas starting against left-handed pitching. And Garcia, now that he's gotten really hot, they've let him stay in there against some lefties. But, you know, the thing for him, offense comes and goes. You go through your hot streaks, your cold streaks. They've really pressed upon him to sit, to, you know, look fastball. Don't let fastballs go by, because he's such a good fastball hitter, and he was always seen looking breaking ball and not making contact on fastballs getting by him. So he's made that adjustment. When he does that, he can hit to anywhere, foul pole to foul pole. But the biggest difference is he was basically a defensive liability, especially when they were playing him at shortstop and even at second base. And that's where I could say his defense over the course of the year has been more consistent than his offense. He's improved in every way. He's ready before the pitch. That's been the big part of his preparation, thinking before the pitch what he's going to do when the ball's hit to him. And he's, you know, he's made spectacular plays, but the big thing is he's made all the routine plays. And you really couldn't say that about him before this year.
Charlie Slows, outstanding on the call tonight with Dave Jagler. Make sure you're listening. 106.7 The Fan, 6:45 first pitch to kick off his series with the Giants. Ongoing 10-game homestand, the longest of the season. So if you want to get out and see the Nats, no time like the present. Charlie, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon, Grant.
Yeah, be good. Look forward to seeing you over at the ballpark. Let's extrapolate the baseball discussion.
The MLB.
Nationally, we talk baseball with Britt Ciroli. And Britt, without solely beating up on the White Sox here, the main reason I wanted to bring you on was basically to beat up on the White Sox. I don't know if my listeners understand what's happening. They have lost 20 consecutive games. They had a 14-game losing streak this year as well. If you just take those 34 games out of the equation, they'd still be in last place. Historically, what are we seeing here?
We are seeing a really, really bad team, Grant. And what's unfortunate is they're not just a bad team, but they're also a bad team that seemingly has no hope because, you know, you look around the league and universally people thought they should have gotten more for Eric Fetty, who was, you know, one of the better starters, moved at the deadline. And Garrett Crochet, that whole situation was blundered. He wasn't ended up traded. Eloy Jimenez was basically given away to the Orioles. So they not only are a bad team at the big league level, but under the hood what's going on seems to be a disaster as well. So many people last year called for a change. You know, they get rid of Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. They promote Chris Getz in charge of the farm system, and it seems as if nothing has changed. It's just an utterly rudderless ship right now when it comes to the White Sox.
Britt, they're 27-87. I just like saying that because it's hilarious. They're 60 games under 500, which is just unfathomable. If they lose to the A's today, then they will have lost 21 in a row, which would tie the American League record. I don't think you're at a point as a fan where you're like rooting for history, but maybe you are. But here's the crazy thing. They can't draft in the top 10. You know, it used to be that you would just get the number one pick and you could be bad as a means to an end. But the new rules, which I hate with the draft lottery, if you're a major market team like Chicago or last year like the Nats who got screwed, and you've picked high the previous season, then you can't pick at the top of the draft board again. So the highest they can pick, I think, if I have this right, is 10th next year, even if they finish 65 games under 500.
That's right. But it's important to point out, Grant, that even when they were picking higher, they weren't doing a good job.
That's a good point.
Their farm system has been in disarray. They're organization that has not developed, even when we thought they had a young core a few years ago. That core never did what we thought they were going to do. So, as I mentioned, there's just not hope no matter what angle you're looking through. And, you know, I think you maybe are rooting for history a little bit, because what's one more loss in a lost season for the Chicago White Sox? It is really, really bad. There is no question that the Marlins and Rockies are in better situations right now than what's going on the South Side.
All right, right now you had to make a bet as to who's meeting in the World Series. Give me a team from the AL and NL that you think are the last two standing. What do you got?
Oh, this is so hard. I was talking about this today on another show. I'm going to go with the Phillies and the Orioles.
That would be fun. A little regional here, Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not fooled by the Phillies' recent swoon here. I think they're a terrific team. Over 162, eventually you're going to have a bad week or two. They're two veteran star laid in for me to not be a real series threat in the World Series. I think L.A. has had issues with being injured all year. And on the AL side, I think the Orioles getting Zach Eflin was more of a low-key move, and not enough people are realizing that now their playoff rotation is Eflin, you know, followed by, of course, Corbin Burns would start one. You'd have Grayson Rodriguez, too. That's a legitimate trio in the playoffs. So I think the Orioles got better at the trade deadline. And, of course, seeing... And we saw over the weekend Jackson Holliday with that grand slam, with multi-hit games. He looks like the guy they thought they were going to have after struggling initially when he got called up earlier this season.
Britt Ciroli does such a good job covering Major League Baseball. Check around in The Athletic. Thank you, Britt. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Grant.
Yeah, be good. Always good to catch up. All right, let's talk football. Eric Bickle, Sports Junkies fame. You hear him every morning right here on The Fan. EB, are you having the same experience as us? And I know you just got back from vacay, but you've had several weeks of this before that. I feel like the lack of energy about Jaden Daniels is going to make me boil my blood. I can't do it anymore. Where is the excitement about the most exciting quarterback prospect we've had here, certainly since Griffin? And I'd make the case he's even better as a prospect than Griffin was.
Are you being serious or are you being facetious?
I'm being dead serious.
I agree with all of the sentiment regarding his ability and talent and potential. I feel a lot of buzz, but maybe it's just for me. I mean, I'm super excited about it. I feel the buzz nationally. I don't know. I don't get that same sense. Now, again, I've been away the last week.
No, here's what I'm saying, right? I think everyone that comes in nationally raves about him. Everyone out in Ashburn raves about him. The buzz about him, the hype, so to speak, is very, very high. I'm going to say 9 out of 10 high. What I'm saying is it is pulling teeth in terms of years past to getting calls on the quarterback, having people interact on the quarterback, just general conversations with fans out at practice. It's like, well, we'll see. It just feels like so many people are in see it to believe it mode.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that's probably accurate from our perspective, too. I think people just burned. They've been burned too many times. I mean, I went all in on Robert. I mean, I called him our Jesus. I said he was going to bring people together. He was the most divisive guy we've had in here in 15 years. It just so snowballed and just it blew up on our face. I was cautiously optimistic on Wentz and just rode him. That blew up in my face. I jumped on Hal and thought I was caught. I wasn't crazy, but I thought I was cautiously optimistic he could do the job. Halfway through, I felt like I was a big winner in that one. And then we just destroyed him, in my opinion. So we've just been burned so many times, Grant, that I think the fan base, I think it's fair to say, let me see, show me before I get totally over my skis here on this one. But I think I think we really got something, Grant. I think this is going to be a really, really special kid for this town.
I am always skeptical to an extent, but I went out to practice and I was really, really impressed with just how he threw the ball, the accuracy, some of the touch, and just how he carried himself. It's very easy to kind of get caught up if you're around it very fast in what he's capable of becoming. How about the preseason game on Saturday? Dan Quinn says he's going to play. They didn't say he's going to start, which was kind of interesting. Do you think there's a chance he doesn't start?
No, zero. You're going to put him behind backup offensive line? No chance. I mean, there's just no chance you're going to do that, right? Whatever ones are going to be in there, that's who Jaden's going to be with. You're not going to put him in with a third string tackle.
Because it's very weird the way it was said is my only thing. They didn't say he's going to start, and they haven't said that at any point. That's why I'm kind of asking what is, I agree with you.
I agree.
A silly question, but let's say he doesn't start for some reason, and they just continue the charade where Mariota gets a drive and then Jaden gets one or two. What will your reaction be?
Well, then we're treading down Ron Road here. We're playing make-believe or something. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they just don't want to name him the so-called starter. From what I've heard, from what you guys that have been down, I mean, they're raving about this kid. They're blown away. And I think, it all makes sense. Not only does he have all of these gifts, the humility is what I've loved so far. Man, that is a refreshing change around here, right? I love that humility. Although Hal had that. I love that humility. But really, Grant, I mean, we're talking about it today. He played 5 years of big-time college football. You know, the last two in as big and tough a school as there is in the country. He's built for this. He's been prepped for this. His dad's been grooming him for this since he was, 10, 11, 12 years old. It just makes sense. They just don't want to name him the starter. But you and I both know he's the starter. He's going to start on Saturday, and he's going to start on week one.
Yeah, I will agree to all those terms. EB, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We were talking about this because Jacoby Brissett was mic'd up. He said he's 31 years old. He doesn't care about chicken tenders anymore. What is a food that you love when you're young, but if you eat it as an adult, you got questions? You're like, dude, you can't still be that guy.
All right. Well, see, the thing is, I still am that guy. Twinkies. I can't get away from them.
You're a big Twinkie guy?
I can't get away from
them. I thought Twinkies went away 5 years ago, didn't they?
They did, and I had a real depression about it. But they came back because we demanded it. We demanded it. And, when I go into a gas station, if I have to go pee or something, I'm picking up some Twinkies on the way out. That's embarrassing, but that's true.
I am a gross fat guy. I don't think I've ever eaten a Twinkie in my life. not once.
It's got to be horrible for you.
It's not because it's horrible. They don't look that interesting. They're small. There's a little bit of, cake with the filling.
Are you kidding?
Filling.
There's whipped cream. It's just loaded with sugar. What's not to love?
EB, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, pal.
The perfect answer. That's why we love our guy, Eric Bickle. And that is your Beltway Blitz. We had just started to get into the Brandon Ayuk discussion. Should Washington engage again, or has that ship sailed? Wait to hear what Adam Schefter had to say today on ESPN about Brandon Ayuk. That's next on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thank you, Toby. Welcome back. Grant and Danny without Danny. This is The Fan. I'm wearing a athletic, kind of like an Under Armour almost type, polo, dry fit, pretty nice, comfortable, khaki shorts, black shoes, now you can picture me. Hopefully you're having yourself a fine little Monday as you travel around the DMV. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight in Nationals baseball, pregame and then first pitch. They are playing at the end of the 6 o'clock hour. Charlie Slow's Dave Jagler will have the call of Nats Giants right here on The Fan. So if you've been listening to our show the last several weeks, you know that I downplayed and didn't really want to fully engage on all of the silly Brandon Ayuk stuff. I thought it was mostly ridiculous. It was him manufacturing headlines to try to get out of San Francisco is kind of what I thought was going on. And he was using Jaden Daniels in Washington in a way that kind of annoyed me anyway. But the videos and the Instagram posts and the things that would come out where he and Daniels are together, or he's got a screen grab of Washington practice, at times annoying, never really that big of a deal, but all of it I thought was just kind of silly and foolish, and he was agitating to try to get out of a place where I didn't think they were going to trade him, because the 49ers need him to try to win their elusive Super Bowl this year, and they're in gotta-have-it mode. When you get to the NFC Championship game every year, when you're constantly in the hunt for a Super Bowl, you know, that territory that we have not really been in around here in a long, long time, your expectations and your sightline changes. And that's where San Francisco is. They were 13-3 and lost in the Super Bowl in 2019. Forget the pandemic year 2020. It doesn't really count. It was all different. Since then, there have been three football seasons. And they lost in the conference championship game twice. And then they won in the conference title game this past year and lost in the Super Bowl. So four straight full football seasons with fans in the stands. They have, at worst, been an NFC title game team. Half the time a Super Bowl team, and they don't have anything to show for it. And that is why I don't think they're trading Brandon Ayuk and haven't at any point over the last several weeks. Because they're about to have to pay Brock Purdy, and he's going to go from making peanuts as a seventh-round pick. Barely more than like the security people that are helping him get into the locker room before a game as he gets off the bus for their daily rate at the stadium, to making $60 to $65 million a year when he signs his next contract, according to Bill Barnwell of ESPN. You got to win before he gets paid. If so facto, Ayuk's not going anywhere. That was my take. I've stood by that. But there's been a lot more noise and now some, I think, reporting from legitimate insiders that have my attention is what I'll say. So go back to last week when we heard the first ridiculous thing come out on Ayuk in a little while. I think it was Colin Cowherd who had the non-report report, if memory serves, that he had heard that something's gotten done here. There's a contract extension. Brandon Ayuk got paid. I'm just checking, making sure. No, he didn't, actually. Supposedly, I talked to someone, I'm hearing, there are rumblings, he got paid. Just gonna, one more time, let me make sure I'm not wrong. Yep, he still hasn't been paid. Then there was the preposterous speculation. Based on Ayuk's bro hug of Kyle Shanahan, I'm not making this up. Do you guys remember this bit a few days ago? Like, people saw Brandon Ayuk essentially dap up and bro hug Kyle Shanahan. And based on the excitement of him seeing his coach and what Kyle had done in the bro hug, people were saying, see, he definitely got a deal done. And Kyle, after practice, was like, that's how we greet each other. It's just called a bro hug, man. And everyone was like, oh, we thought it meant you signed him. Nah, we were just saying hello. First time I'd seen him in a little while. That's where reporting is at this point. But it's why I've been ignoring this at all costs. The whole thing was dumb. This weekend, Matt Maiocco, who actually gets information and covers the 49ers, NBC Sports Bay Area, said for the first time he thought a trade could happen because there has not been any progress. And today, Adam Schefter was on ESPN with Pat McAfee, and he added a little fuel to the fire in suggesting that other teams watching might be interested in trying to pick up the phone. This is what he had to say.
I think every team out there just is wondering, like, the longer this goes on, do we jump in and make a call on Brandon Ayuk? Would they listen to our offer? New England certainly, I'm sure, would love to have a guy like Brandon Ayuk. But again, it takes two sides to tango. You got to satisfy the 49ers if you're ever going to make a deal. And the player has to be willing to take the contract from your organization. And even though he doesn't have a no-trade clause in his contract, he has an unofficial no-trade clause, Brandon Ayuk does right now, because if he doesn't want to go to a team, he could say, I'm not taking that contract, and then why is that team going to give up the amount of compensation it would take to go get him if they know that they can't get him under a long-term deal?
So that last point that Schefter made is very significant, and I want to circle back to that for a second. Brandon Ayuk does not have a no-trade clause, but Brandon Ayuk has all of the leverage here, and he can squash any deal that he wants to. And the reason is a team is not going to give up what it would take to trade for Ayuk unless Ayuk is willing to sign a contract with said team. So if he doesn't want to be there long-term, he could just tell them, I'm not signing with you. Or if they don't want to pay him close to $30 million and instead they want to pay him $27 or $28 million, he could just say, no thanks, I'm good. And if I can't get a deal in place with him, then I'm not going to trade you draft picks or a veteran wide receiver or both, if that's what you're asking for. So with that leverage, Ayuk really holds the cards here in so many ways. Really important. But why it's interesting, I think, to reference Washington, as Schefter's saying, might a team decide to get back into this or to pick up the phone? We already know it has been confirmed through various reports that Washington was one of the teams that called San Francisco at about Ayuk early on. Assuming that's true, and if you're Adam Peters and you checked in, they didn't want to trade him, nothing was doing at that time. Is there any thought to just seeing what's changed? Is that something that if you were Peters, you would do? Their wide receiver room is the same right now as it was then. If you're Peters, you've got a much better look and better feel for your talent. That could be a good thing or a bad thing, I guess. They recently signed Byron Pringle. A lot was made out of that. I didn't really think that meant that they don't like what they have. I just think he was available. They'd probably been talking to him and his agent for a little while. He had some people that were familiar with him in the building, in the wide receiver room from playing with him last year, who have a voice and a say. And I think he was an easy guy to bring in and add some camp depth, you know, a veteran who's caught some passes in the league before. But if you're Peters, you know that Ayuk would come here. His best buddy's the quarterback. This was the team he was seemingly trying to force his way to. So even though weeks ago I kind of dismissed this and I said, I don't see it, now that Mayoko comes out and says, I actually think there's a real chance if a team's willing to give up a veteran wide receiver and a draft pick or two, that San Francisco would trade him, because that was the caveat. His report was, I don't think the 49ers will trade Ayuk for draft picks, for the reason that's obvious to you and to me. They want to win the Super Bowl. But he's saying if the Browns want to give them Amari Cooper and a draft pick, and then San Francisco gets a 30-year-old wideout with a year left on his deal, 72 catches for 1,250 yards last year, and they can get out of the deal at the end of the year and have some money to spend, maybe that's a deal they do. Ayuk gets what he wants. He gets paid, new home. Browns get what they want. They get younger at wide receiver, maybe more explosive. Niners get what they want, which is veteran wide receiver. Plus, you get money off the books. They didn't want to lock up a receiver for $30 million that wasn't Deebo Samuel anyway. At the end of this season, that contract expires. And on top of that, you're able to have a guy that helps you this year. You kind of have your cake and you eat it too. The other deal that I brought up was the Patriots are a team that was linked to them as a fit. I think the Patriots are in the same boat as Washington. You know, they're trying to get Drake May a weapon. They'd be giving up Kendrick Bourne. I got better receivers I could trade than Kendrick Bourne. I mean, other than Terry McLaurin, there's nobody off limits here, right? So let's tackle that next. I'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. First, have you just moved on if you're Adam Peters, or would you revisit this at this point? 800-636-1067. I mean, do you still have interest in an Ayuk trade if it presented itself right here, right now, back end of training camp? 800-636-1067. And if Mayoko's right and it would take a veteran wideout, let's say maybe Jahan Dotson, plus draft picks, plus then you've got to pay Ayuk $30 million per year or close to it. Is that something you'd be willing to do? Should Washington be interested in doing that to help Jaden Daniels, yes or no? MGM National Harbor listener lines open. Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D without Danny, welcome back. Top of the hour, Joel Corey, a contracts expert, one of the smartest guests that we have on. I want to talk to him about how much Dak Prescott's going to get and when. Will it be with Dallas or somebody else? And what will that mean for the quarterback market and eventually Brock Purdy? Also, want to get his thought on how much the quarterback market has exploded this offseason and what the cap might look like eventually on quarterback pay. How do we get there and what's the timeline on that? So a lot of ground to cover with him coming up right at 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. But Brandon Ayuk's back in the news. Adam Schefter today suggested teams might be interested in getting back in on a Ayuk trade conversation with San Francisco. You had a 49ers beat reporter who gets a lot of the news out of San Fran saying he now thinks that a trade could happen. He just thinks a team's going to have to give up a veteran wideout. The price is still too steep for me. To give up, say, Dotson, you know, a veteran wide receiver, plus a couple picks, like the rumored deal, or I should say the one that Mayoko suggested that would work, for the Browns is a 1,000-yard guy in Cooper, plus maybe a second-round pick, and then you pay $30 million for Ayuk. Well, if Cooper, who went 72 for 1250, even though he's much older and cost more money than Dotson, required also, you know, pinning a second-round pick to him, then what does that look like for Dotson? Then you're trading Jahan Dotson plus maybe a two and something else, another draft pick, and then you're paying $30 million. It's too steep for me. But I do like the idea of adding wide receiver talent, trading for high-end players to help Daniels. So I'm not completely out. It's not something I would probably do, but I certainly wouldn't hate it if they did it. I think any attempt to surround Daniels with elite talent is a worthwhile endeavor. And the floor, like the worst-case scenario for a Peters move that brings in a weapon and or a lineman to help Daniels, the worst-case scenario is, ooh, that's a steep cost. I'm not sure if I would have done that. But, man, am I glad that Daniels has a chance to be really, really good. That's as bad as it could get. So I'm fine either way. I don't think I would make the deal. But if you're Peters and you see Schefter saying today the Niners could be open for business, would you pick up the phone? Ian's in Vienna. What's up, Ian? How are you?
No, no, and no. I agree with your logic, but even if the compensation weren't that high, he is a fantastic player. He was a Pro Bowler and a second-team All-Pro player, but he's also surrounded by Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle, the fullback, I'm Juszczyk. Forgetting his last name. Yeah, Juszczyk. So and Debo Samuel. So he's got four, if not five, first ballot All-Pro Hall of Fame caliber players around him. So it's really hard to say, is it him or is it all the talent around him? And again, he's done it for 1 year. I would love to see how he does this year when people are like, oh, he's somebody we have to mark and guard for game plan around. So A, I want to see more body of work from Ayuk, point one. Point two, the lack of professionalism from him is beyond normal. We've all debated these diva wide receivers, this and that. Nobody acts like this. Straight up posting game film, every day posting a comment, making his rookie quarterback have to answer for him. No. And then third, not only do you have to draft or trade for him and give up current players and or compensation, you have to pay him like a bona fide number one in the caliber of guys who've done it for multiple consecutive years. He would be higher than Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Jamar
Chase. Not Jefferson. Jefferson just got close to 35, but you were rolling there. I wanted to let you keep going. I appreciate you. It's a good phone call. I don't disagree with most of what you just said. I find his act tired. I think he's been a gigantic pain in the butt. I do think he's agitating just to be paid. I don't think this is his normal setting. I think this is him throwing his temper tantrum. You know, this is him being loud and agitating when being told to go to his room so that he can get some attention or get what he wants out of the equation. And I think he'll settle in and be a good soldier again after this. But the fact that he's got this club in the bag, I don't love. You know, Terry McLaurin doesn't do this, even when he wants to be paid. Last year was his wanted to be paid. He showed up, he worked, he got his money. So I'm with you. This is a major turnoff for me. There's no doubt. I have asked the same question. How good is he really? I think he's excellent. I don't think he's A.J. Brown. When the Eagles brought him over as a missing piece, linchpin for Jalen Hurts, I think he's good. Really, really good. I would say he is maybe a tick better than McLaurin in terms of like having some explosiveness in the middle of the field after they catch stuff. But it's comparable between the two. I think he's somewhere between the 9th and 13th or 14th best receiver in the league. I think Terry's in the 10 to 15, 16 conversation, something like that. To have both of those guys would be outstanding for Daniels. But you take him away from the best play designer at getting receivers open in the league in Kyle. You take some of the attention away that was going toward Debo and Kittle. You mentioned it, McCaffrey out of the backfield, no better pass-catching back. Probably not a better, more complete tight end in the league than Kittle as a blocker and as a receiver. They're certainly not a more dynamic, dual-threat wideout than Debo Samuel. And now he is the alpha, he's the marked man. Is he the same guy? Probably not. But I will say it's been 2 years, not one. That's the one critique I would make to the argument. It's not like that was the first time we saw him play well. He had 78 grabs 2 years ago before 75 last year, and he went for 1,000. Didn't go for the same explosive 1,300-yard season. It was a 13-yard per catch year. But, I mean, he's had 4 years in a row at 12.5 or more yards per catch, three in a row right around 14.5, I think, collectively. So he's got a track record now of being really, really good. Devon in D.C., is this something Adam Peters should still be considering, or would he move on at this point if you were him?
I'm moving on. Too much risk. The risk is not worth it. This guy, you can bring him in, and what if he doesn't sign with you after this year? What if you go one year?
You would not make the trade. Just answer that. You would not make the trade if you don't get a deal in place. This would be your old school Dan Snyder side in trade.
Right. There you go. There you go. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. He may renege on it. He's a talent, don't get me wrong, and he may be the top five league wide receiver in the league in 4 or 5 years, but no, I'm absolutely no.
I'm with you. I just think there's so much talent coming out of college every year at the position as well. It changes the algorithm for me and my desperation to pay a guy 30 mil who's really good. I'd pay the elite guys like Jets, Justin Jefferson or Devontae Adams or something. But that next tier down, I can't give you 30 mil. I want to be in that 22 to 24 range like I am with McLaurin. Some good phone calls there. Joel Corey, speaking of contracts, we can talk to him about Ayuk and if 30 million makes sense. The CBS contracts expert, he's awesome. Make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D without Danny, welcome back. Top of the hour. Joel Corey, a contracts expert, one of the smartest guests that we have on. I want to talk to him about how much Dak Prescott's going to get and when. Will it be with Dallas or somebody else? And what will that mean for the quarterback market and eventually Brock Purdy? Also, want to get his thought on how much the quarterback market has exploded this offseason and what the cap might look like eventually on quarterback pay. How do we get there and what's the timeline on that? So a lot of ground to cover with him coming up right at 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. But Brandon Ayuk's back in the news. Adam Schefter today suggested teams might be interested in getting back in on a Ayuk trade conversation with San Francisco. You had a 49ers beat reporter who gets a lot of the news out of San Fran saying he now thinks that a trade could happen. He just thinks a team's going to have to give up a veteran wideout. The price is still too steep for me. To give up, say, Dotson, you know, a veteran wide receiver, plus a couple picks, like the rumored deal, or I should say the one that Mayoko suggested that would work, for the Browns is a 1,000-yard guy in Cooper, plus maybe a second-round pick, and then you pay $30 million for Ayuk. Well, if Cooper, who went 72 for 1,250, even though he's much older and costs more money than Dotson, required also, you know, pinning a second-round pick to him, then what does that look like for Dotson? Then you're trading Jahan Dotson plus maybe a two and something else, another draft pick, and then you're paying $30 million. It's too steep for me. But I do like the idea of adding wide receiver talent, trading for high-end players to help Daniels. So I'm not completely out. It's not something I would probably do, but I certainly wouldn't hate it if they did it. I think any attempt to surround Daniels with elite talent is a worthwhile endeavor. And the floor, like the worst case scenario for a Peters move that brings in a weapon and or a lineman to help Daniels, the worst case scenario is, ooh, that's a steep cost. I'm not sure if I would have done that. But man, am I glad that Daniels has a chance to be really, really good. That's as bad as it could get. So I'm fine either way. I don't think I would make the deal. But if you're Peters and you see Schefter saying today the Niners could be open for business, would you pick up the phone? Ian's in Vienna. What's up, Ian? How are you?
No, no, and no. I agree with your logic, but even if the compensation weren't that high, he is a fantastic player. He was a Pro Bowler and a second-team All-Pro player. But he's also surrounded by Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle, their fullback, I'm forgetting his last name. Yeah, Usyk. So and Deebo Samuel. So he's got four, if not five, first-ballot All-Pro Hall of Fame caliber players around him. So it's really hard to say, is it him or is it all the talent around him? And again, he's done it for 1 year. I would love to see how he does this year when people are like, oh, he's somebody we have to mark and guard for game plan around. So A, I want to see more body of work from Ayuk, point one. Point two, the lack of professionalism from him is beyond normal. We've all debated these diva wide receivers, this and that. Nobody acts like this. Straight up posting game film, every day posting a comment, making his rookie quarterback have to answer for him. No. And then third, not only do you have to draft or trade for him and give up current players and or compensation, you have to pay him like a bona fide number one in the caliber of guys who've done it for multiple consecutive years. He would be higher than Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, Jamar
Chase. Jefferson just got close to 35, but you were rolling there. I wanted to let you keep going. I appreciate you. It's a good phone call. I don't disagree with most of what you just said. I find his act tired. I think he's been a gigantic pain in the butt. I do think he's agitating just to be paid. I don't think this is his normal setting. I think this is him throwing his temper tantrum. You know, this is him being loud and agitating when being told to go to his room so that he can get some attention or get what he wants out of the equation. And I think he'll settle in and be a good soldier again after this. But the fact that he's got this club in the bag, I don't love. You know, Terry McLaurin doesn't do this, even when he wants to be paid. Last year was his wanted to be paid. He showed up, he worked, he got his money. So I'm with you. This is a major turnoff for me. There's no doubt. I have asked the same question. How good is he really? I think he's excellent. I don't think he's A.J. Brown. When the Eagles brought him over as a missing piece, linchpin for Jalen Hurts, I think he's good. Really, really good. I would say he is maybe a tick better than McLaurin in terms of like having some explosiveness in the middle of the field after the catch stuff, but it's comparable between the two. I think he's maybe somewhere between the 9th and 13th or 14th best receiver in the league. I think Terry's in the 10 to 15, 16 conversation, something like that. To have both of those guys would be outstanding for Daniels. But you take him away from the best play designer at getting receivers open in the league, in Kyle. You take some of the attention away that was going toward Deebo and Kittle. You mentioned it, McCaffrey out of the backfield, no better pass-catching back. Probably not a better, more complete tight end in the league than Kittle as a blocker and as a receiver. They're certainly not a more dynamic, dual-threat wideout than Deebo Samuel. And now he is the alpha, he's the marked man. Is he the same guy? Probably not. But I will say it's been 2 years, not one. That's the one critique I would make to the argument. It's not like that was the first time we saw him play well. He had 78 grabs 2 years ago before 75 last year, and he went for 1,000. didn't go for the same explosive 1,300-yard season. It was a 13-yard per catch year. But, I mean, he's had 4 years in a row at 12.5 or more yards per catch, three in a row right around 14.5, I think, collectively. So he's got a track record now of being really, really good. Devon in D.C., is this something Adam Peters should still be considering, or would he move on at this point if you were him?
I'm moving on. Too much risk. The risk is not worth it. This guy, you can bring him in, and what if he doesn't sign with you after this year? What if you go
well,
one year?
You would
year,
not make the trade. Just answer that. You would not make the trade if you don't get a deal in place. This
no,
would be your
no.
old school Dan Snyder side in trade.
Right. There you go. There you go. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. He may renege on it. He's a talent, don't get me wrong, and he may be the top five league wide receiver in the league in 4 or 5 years, but no, I'm absolutely no.
I'm with you. I just think there's so much talent coming out of college every year at the position as well. It changes the algorithm for me and my desperation to pay a guy 30 mil who's really good. I'd pay the elite guys like Jets, Justin Jefferson or Devontae Adams or something. But that next tier down, I can't give you 30 mil. I want to be in that 22 to 24 range like I am with McLaurin. Some good phone calls there. Joel Corey, speaking of contracts, we can talk to him about Ayuk and if 30 million makes sense. The CBS contracts expert, he's awesome. Make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.